Welcome back, friends, to KYTL. This is episode 7. We're going to be going over all things Survivor Michigan. It's episode 7, season 6.
Yes, it's going good. I also just realized, because we filmed this, like, we tried filming and then something happened because of my laptop, except I realized all my notes from our laptop. So I'm going to have to, like, raw dog this. It'll be okay.
Slay. Hey, I got my notes too, so don't you
good.
Worry.
Good, okay, awesome.
Yeah, well, welcome back. We hope you all are having a lovely weekend, February, whenever you see this, watch this. Mm-hmm. I'm down here in sunny Orlando where it is 70 degrees and I'm living it up.
And I'm, you know what? It's actually been pretty nice in Michigan. It's been like in the like high 50s, low 60s, which is crazy.
Oh my, okay.
Yes, okay. Yesterday I walked out without a winter coat. Like I had a sweatshirt and shorts on.
Shorts?
Oh my God. Shorts, short weather. It's crazy, but it's probably not going to last. But you know what? Like I am going to make good time of it.
As you should. So yeah, episode 7 was an interesting episode.
I thought for as straightforward of an episode as it was, I thought it was like a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I would agree. It was a longer episode than I expected, but everything was like, it was good. I thought the challenge was good. And I really thought sort of like going to the beginning of the episode of like the fallout of Katie's vote out was really interesting to see from all the different perspectives of like the people that were really mad at her for keeping in that showmance. The people that were like really heartbroken by the fact that she got voted out. And then like your Ians of the world who sort of felt like, oh, this was all my fault. And like even George was feeling that way too.
I was really surprised of how many people were not really mad at Katie and George at all. Like I get to their face maybe not being mean or like or being mad, but like if I'm Lindsay or Taylor, those are the people specifically that really weren't mad about it at all. I would, like, I get it. Like, if you're Katie, obviously you're not going to tell people. Like, I think that is, like, something I can get past. But still, it is, like, they did lie to you. And if anything, it's proof that they are good at lying in the game. And also, it's not even the fact that they lied, but it's the fact that, like, they had someone in the game that was like ahead of you and you probably didn't realize that. So even though Katie's not in the game anymore, it's like, how can you really trust George to like be your close ally when like he was close allies with someone else and you didn't necessarily like know that for sure.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, especially like Taylor, because there was an episode before previous to this, or maybe even it was in episode 6, where she was like sort of detailing where all the players stand in the game and how her and Katie are pretty much in the middle playing a very similar game. And she even like considered voting Katie out. And I get like maybe she wasn't quite ready to vote Katie out. But at the same time, it's like hard to see that for me. And maybe it's just like an emotional time where it's like, oh my God, one of my really close friends just got voted out and that sucks. But from like a game point of view, it's just sort of hard to follow how that trust landed.
Yeah, I mean, this quesadilla 5 really seems to like all trust each other a lot. But even then, like you said, like Taylor was already worried about Katie a little bit. So like, I think it's like they don't trust each other 100%, but there is like a level of friendship that I think like for Taylor and Lindsay at least has like surpassed the game, and which I think is totally valid. Like,
yeah,
it's not something necessarily like mark on them strategically. I just think it's something interesting to note of how little they are like taking offense at the fact that they were like lied to.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, the interesting, like, nuance of College Survivor, too, is, like, people do form, like, friendships, and it's a game that is four times longer than regular Survivor. So mm-hmm. obviously those bonds are going to form as the game moves on at a much slower pace. So yeah. like in a time where regular Survivor, where maybe it's like final six, final seven, where you're having those friendships like come into play, here it's happening pre-merge. And I just really, I think it's a really fun, I've probably said this in other episodes too, but like, I really just like that element of the game.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes a little different than like actual Survivor. And I think especially playing it, it's like, it adds another layer to it, I think. Yeah. And like, I think right here you can, cause like, I think like different people are going to react differently in this scenario, even if they're in Taylor and Lindsay's spot. Like for me personally, I am going to be in that spot and be like, wow, my close friend just lied to me. And I'd probably have the opposite reaction of like, wow, I'm really going to have to like keep an eye on them. I think outwardly, I'd probably act the same as Taylor and Lindsay and be like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's so fine. But I think in my confessionals, I'd probably personally be thinking something else, but I also like understand why Taylor and Lindsay aren't that worried mm-hmm. because I think they trust George so much to the point where like, it's not really gonna matter that much. Like also his closest ally is gone. He doesn't have that many other people to go to yeah. from their perspective. So of course he's gonna go to them. So like, I think there's not really anything wrong with Taylor and Lindsay having this mindset. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And then sort of like moving on, there's like a next part's like sort of like Ian sort of chatting about like the Rock's plan. Mm-hmm. And like, if I'm going to be so for real right now, I don't know how this Rock's plan was going to be foolproof. Like, it's so hard to control your like people that are wavering on the line. And I get you want to put your trust into where people are voting, but if your plan is rocks going into it, I don't know.
Okay, so here's my take on it. I get where Ian's coming from. I think it's like this idea of like being safe from rocks is like, it's obviously a very difficult thing to pull off. And knowing Ian, he would love to pull something off that like is so crazy that you just don't think it could work. And I totally get why he tried to do it. I think like, especially for Ian, I think like the risk was not him going home, but Katie going home, because either like, I think he knew that his people were not going to flip. It just wasn't going to happen. And it was way more likely for someone to either flip immediately and vote Katie off, or keep it a tie and then flip on Katie after like the revote. So for Ian, I think this plan makes sense. You either get to actually like go with the plan and like keep Katie, and like, yeah, it goes to rocks and someone goes home, but you want to keep Katie, or mm-hmm. worst case scenario, Katie goes home and you're still safe.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that makes sense to me too. But like Ian's reactions is like very much not in the sense of like, oh, you know, I made it. Like he wanted to save Katie.
Yeah, he did. And it's like, I think the major problem with this plan was just the fact that Obsidian did such a bad job managing Ellie to the point where like, I don't think Ellie ever was going to like work with Obsidian at this point. Like, they literally had told her to or told them to their face that like they like were probably gonna get home at some point. Like, I don't understand why they didn't try to do a better job to get Ellie on their side. And I think ultimately that is kind of what led Katie to go home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like, you can tell Ellie is a very loyal player. They want to work with people. They want to build relationships. They may have started a foot backwards because of being gone for certain weekends of like votes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but they're actively making an effort to talk to people. And like, right. it's shown clearly in this episode where they talk to everyone on New Obsidian for Tribal Council. So it's just unfortunate that they managed that incorrectly.
Yeah, well, this is kind of going a little bit forward, but it is interesting how, like, how pushed away Ellie was from Obsidian, but then once Katie was gone, Ellie seems all for going back to Obsidian, which I don't necessarily think is a bad idea. I was just a little surprised because Ellie was so like, oh, like, I mean, they were literally targeted like by like half of the Obsidian tribe, not like directly, but like there was plans to eventually get Ellie out, and Ellie kind of knows they are on the bottom and still want to work with Obsidian.
It don't make sense to me, but like I also get it that like Obsidian has more people, like if you do merge, which obviously is happening next week.
Yeah, I actually like, I let me rephrase that. I actually do think it makes the most sense for Ellie. I think like I think they are using you know what, we can get to this later because this is going more like after the challenge.
Yeah. So I guess we can sort of go right into the challenge because most of the fallout is just like,
you know, Taylor and Lindsay. Yeah.
Taylor Lindsay being
I'll say I'm glad we finally got some more Lindsay content. I feel like I feel like the edit has been relatively fair for at least like pure screen time. But I think Lindsay is one of the characters that I wanted to see more, at least from like a strategical like perspective. Yeah. And I think with Katie leaving, I think that will give Lindsay more time because there's just so many strategic powerhouses in this alliance of the Quesadilla 5, now Quesadilla 4, that like it was going to like, it's so hard to fit all their perspectives in, but I think now we can finally get more Lindsay time.
Yeah, which I think is going to be good. And yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the challenge, Brady starts in with a fake out with Emerge and he's like, drop your expectations. It's a Survivor Michigan classic.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do that. It's so funny.
It's funny. It gets the players really good. Like, it's just goofy. And we start with everyone sort of stepping off into their own space and sending trust lists in their prod chats in order to organize each of the tribes from least trusted to most trusted. And the person that is least trusted, Brady reads a story to them. Then they play telephone all the way back to the most trusted person on their tribe, who will go and take a quiz on said story. That was an interesting challenge. Person with the most points on the quiz, is their tribe's immune, and the least trusted person on that tribe is the difference maker.
Correct.
Yeah. And then go ahead.
And then after that, the two remaining tribes compete in a completely different challenge, and it's just straight up wall sits. The least trustworthy person on each tribe has to pick someone from the other tribe to also compete, and those four people compete, and we obviously see what happens.
Yeah. So I thought this was a cool challenge. Telephone with a story that long, difficult. Yeah.
I'm bad at telephone with one word, let alone an entire story.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I was that least trusted person, I feel like I just could not remember the whole story.
Like if you're in that challenge, the best spot to be is honestly like either like at the end or in the middle, because like if you're at the end, like, yeah, you're the one answering the questions, but like if you weren't given the answers by the previous person, then that's not your fault at all. Yeah. So there literally like no blame is gonna go to you.
Exactly. But like being the first person would just be like,
mm-hmm. I find it interesting that the least trustworthy person had to be the first person, because like you're kind of like pushing them in a spot that they probably don't want to be in.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what production was thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun, and Kopaka won that challenge. Mm-hmm.
What we should start with is who were the least trustworthy for each one. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it was Ellie for Kopaka, Justin for Nusaka, and T-Rex for New Obsidian.
Mm-hmm. And like relatively those all make sense. I mean, Ellie had like, I think like obviously there would be a debate between Ellie and Ian on Kopaka, but I think like with the entire like situation that had just happened and like Ellie being the clear name that like, well, I mean, Ian was also voted, so I don't know. I think like, I guess I am a little like wondering why it wasn't Ian, because like at this point, I mean, like, I guess with Ellie flipping and voting Katie out, that is probably like for the rest of, because they, at least the rest of Kopaka knew that Ian was trying to save Katie, mm-hmm. whereas like Ellie obviously wasn't. So that it makes sense that Ellie would be considered the least trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me too. I mean, Ian is, I mean, I know this is the last week of Kopaka, but like Ian just on that tribe with, oh, it's just like,
I'm just sad we never got to see like a Kopaka tribal.
I know, just Kopaka.
Like, I want to see, I mean, like, especially knowing that Ian has the idol now, it's like, what would have, I mean, I think if, at this point, I think, like, let's say they lose, I think, well, let's pretend like no, someone else isn't coming over to their tribal. Ellie probably goes at this point. I think they, like, honestly, they see that Ian, like, is willing to, like, work with them up to a certain extent. And, like, if they are scaredy as an idol, like, that's yeah. also concerning.
Yeah, but Ian is also a smart player. Like, he, at this point, hasn't gone down with a dying ship. Like, he knows when to, like, work with who.
Yeah.
So, he probably would have tried his best to keep Ellie in, but at the end of the day, there was probably nothing he would do, and I don't see him putting an idol for them.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
So, it's like, yeah.
But, yeah, and then on the other tribes, we have Justin, which, like, I think, like, kind of makes sense given, like, the context of, like, what certain people, like, Grace are saying about Justin. They really trusted him, and now it sounds like he's trying to play both sides.
Yeah.
And I think that is just giving people a bad impression of Justin.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, Grace sort of talks about it after the challenge, too. Because, like, when you play both sides like that, you just end up, like, digging your own grave.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, if you can do it right, it's so difficult to do that that sometimes it's not worth the risk.
Yeah, I totally agree. So it, like, makes sense. And the fact that Justin is the only, like, old Obsidian member on that tribe, it's, even without him, like, losing their trust, he's probably gonna sink closer to the bottom.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like, I mean, you have this like power alliance of Grace, Noah, Tejas, Lindsay. Like, it was always going to be Justin.
Yeah. Yeah, which is bummer. And then T-Rex, that one makes sense as well. Just from an outside viewer perspective.
Given that, like, he just seems like a wild card. Like, I think he is, like, someone that would be Obsidian strong, but, like, also, I get it. It's just tough to trust someone like T-Rex.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, it's not a shock as a viewer for T-Rex to be the least trusted. But if I'm T-Rex, I'm wondering, why isn't Emily the least trusted person?
Immediately, I'm like, oh, I'm like fucked.
Yeah.
If I'm like, T-Rex,
that's like when you realize, oh, the people on my old tribe do not trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I guess from a like pure numbers perspective, Emily should be the least trusted, and obviously that's not what happened.
Yeah. So, but like, yeah, it just makes sense though. Mm-hmm. But oh, T-Rex.
Yeah. Yeah, but we see Kopaka wins the challenge, and Ellie is the difference maker. Is this the second time that they're difference maker?
I almost want to say it's the third.
I cannot remember.
Oh,
I
wait.
Because no, the other one they
spent it twice.
Yeah, I don't remember all the difference makers, but I think it's their second time. If it is their
second,
it might be their third. But like, it was if it is their third, I don't think it was anything crazy.
Yeah, and I mean this week's difference maker is not super crazy. I mean it's not anything new that we've seen.
No, it's not anything like long term in the sense of like an advantage or anything. It's just pure like. I mean, Ellie literally already basically did this. You get to go to another tribal and vote out someone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So just another difference maker moment.
Yeah, but we get to the wall sit challenge. It is New Obsidian versus New Sokka.
Yep.
And I believe, I'm trying to think who picked who. T-Rex picked Lindsay for the other tribe. And Justin picks Emily.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, but Justin had the dogs out.
I did not notice. I'm not usually one to notice people's dogs being out. I feel like that says a lot about you, Sophia.
Well, I saw Lindsay slip because she had her Uggs on, and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I wonder what everyone else is wearing because Uggs don't have much traction.
Yeah,
and no, I'm looking down, and I look, and I see Justin, and the dogs are out.
Here's the thing, like when I saw, I did see Lindsay's Uggs, and I was like, I'm sorry, that's dumb. If like you're gonna be wall sitting, you're gonna need that traction. And like if you're wearing tennis shoes, like fine. I like some of them can be slippery depending on how like new they are. But if you're wearing Uggs, like take those off. I'm sorry, I don't also, care.
Like, the floors of Mason Hall are dusty as hell. Like
yeah, like
no matter what, you're gonna be slipping.
I respect Justin for having the dogs out. I honestly feel like I'd have to do that because my shoes are so, like, the bottoms are just, like, they're gone. They would, like, slip so easily. So
But I just needed to point that out because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, that's the point. But yeah, it ends up being Emily versus Justin, and Justin outlasts Emily just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have Obsidian going to tribal.
Yep. Yeah. It's such an interesting tribal because Katie just got voted out. Now George is going to tribal, but George and Jack are so close that it's like no one even threw out George's name.
Right. Which to me is just like, I get it. George is a huge shield. And I think like, whenever you have a close ally and that person gets out, as that person, you need to play the like wounded dog strategy.
Just which in the George sense, did.
And he yeah, did which great. George did to a T. You have to be like, oh no, my closest ally just went home. What will I ever do?
Oh, woe is me.
And by doing that, you draw, first of all, you garner like, I can't think of the word. You garner, Sympathy. Yeah, but I don't know the difference between them. I know there is one, but like, and it clearly is working. Taylor and Lindsay all feel like shit for George, because, and I mean, like, to be clear, I think George, like, a lot of these emotions that George is feeling are true. They're not like lying per se, but I do think like emphasizing that a certain amount so people feel bad, so they don't vote you out, is a good strategy. Plus, like I said, Katie is gone. He is looking for people to work with, and it's just the perfect avenue to try to garner new alliances and build better relationships. And I think George did a really good job of that.
Oh yeah, he did. And like, I can say this every single episode, but George is really good at this game. Like, he's really good at talking to people. He has made some really good alliances. Like his alliance with Jack is super tight. He's in the now Quesadilla 4, which I don't think people know about still. Like, I feel like that's still pretty under the radar.
This like, which to me is surprising. Like, it felt so obvious, like watching it, but like, I think it has slid under the radar a little bit. I will say, I think like, I actually, let me rephrase that. That's low-key not true, because with the two like tribes, like basically like Kobaka and Sokka going to rocks, basically with like, or almost going to rocks, but Ellie flipping, it's very clear that like Taylor, Lindsay, and Katie were close. And I think like you can kind of make the bridge to like that they are working with George. I think Jack might be the one person where like his association with them might not be as clear.
Yeah, which is great for Jack. Jack is playing like a very, it's not even a quiet game. It's just like he's
quiet in relativity.
Yeah, in relativity. That's like exactly what I was going at. Because he's not like just like coasting, but he's also like not making himself seem like he's running any sort of show.
I would argue that, at least from like Obsidian people, I'd say Jack's probably playing the best game.
Oh yeah.
And I think he has these shields that are like I love George, but like if George makes it to the end, I just don't understand how that's possible. He is George. Like, it's just not going to happen. And like,
yeah,
it's possible, but I think Jack knows that it's super unlikely and is using that to his advantage.
Yeah.
And like, that's not to say Taylor and Lindsay are also in a good spot. I think they're in a relatively similar spot to Jack. I think the only thing that like that Jack has over them is Jack has been on this tribe with Emily, and maybe has that relationship. Whereas like Taylor and Lindsay were just on a tribe with four people from Obsidian, which I don't think is like a very helpful thing.
Yeah. All right, we can get into post-challenge, pre-tribal things.
Yeah, honestly, most of it is just like the strategy for tribal, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit at the beginning, which we've sort of just been going on about, is like George trying to like...
Oh, his like his apology tour, kind of.
Yeah, his apology tour.
Yeah, he was good. I some of these conversations were really funny because it was like, he would always be like, haha, you voted off my girlfriend. Haha, so funny. And like, here's the thing, like, I don't think that, like, especially when he talked to like Noah and like people like that, I think like it's probably pretty clear that like he's not actually going to work with them, but like you have to do it to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll say with the people that he did actually need to like make sure we're good, he did a decent job. I mean, given how Lindsay and Taylor already feel about the situation, I don't think there was any way he could fuck it up. But like, he did what he needed to do.
Exactly. And I really just thought it was funny that George was driving a Zamboni as Katie was getting voted out.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, he worked at Yoast at the time.
But I found out a fun fact, Sophia, that I didn't actually really realize.
A fun fact?
Uh-huh. Like, have you ever thought about why? Because so basically, for those that don't know, a lot of our tribals in the past and now have been at Fairy Field, which is right by Yoast.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered why do we do them at Fairy Field?
Why?
Because George worked at Yoast and it was super close to where he was working.
Whoa.
I know. I learned that from Kevin yesterday.
So has he worked at Yoast since season one?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, this is coming from Kevin. So I don't know if it's, I don't know the validity, but.
This is so... Pretty so basically the reason we do Fairy Field is because of the Umish hockey team.
Like, yeah, you can make that extension. Sure.
Thank you, George, for blessing us with this. As much as I did not like walking to Fairy
Field. I was gonna say, why are you thanking him?
Like, well, I'm thanking him because sometimes you would see the hockey players as they walked to practice.
Yeah,
during tribal.
So fair. Okay. I never saw that, unfortunately, but...
I definitely have a Snapchat of me going, oh my god, the hockey players are right there!
That's
send
so
to
funny.
Makes my
sense.
Roommate, for those who don't know.
Anyways, pre-tribal, I guess. But basically, what I wonder is, like, what would have happened without Ellie here? Because, I mean, I would assume it would just be T-Rex. But there is... would be relatively straightforward, but that's a fast forward, but like we do see Emily throws a vote towards Jack.
Yeah, which I'm like, through watching all of this like scheming and planning and stuff, it's like this vote seems very straightforward. George and Jack are voting T-Rex. Emily seems on board with voting T-Rex, and she's close with George, so I don't understand why she wouldn't want to work with Jack either. And we don't get a lot of content from her, like, kind of explaining where this vote comes from.
I mean, I think we do get, like, I mean, we get an explanation in the next episode, but, like, you can kind of assume that it's because, like, she is scared that T-Rex could play an idol.
Yeah.
And if an idol's played, Emily knew that she was receiving a vote from T-Rex.
Yeah.
And no one else would be receiving a vote. So it, like, in terms of pure, like, game theory, it makes 100% sense to vote someone. The problem is you're stuck between George and Jack. Obviously, Emily's not going to vote George, so she votes Jack. And I think it makes sense. It's just, it is a risk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's risky, and I wonder how she will...
Yeah, like, and I mean, realistically, even if T-Rex plays an idol and it's a 1-1 vote, like, Emily probably still goes home. I mean, T-Rex is still voting for Emily,
mm-hmm.
but George is gonna vote. I guess it comes down to Ellie.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Ellie would do, but like, I feel like, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting scenario. Like, would they have voted Jack to keep Emily?
It just depends on who Ellie is closer to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellie seems to not want to rustle too many feathers for this tribal. So I think, like...
they probably would have voted Emily.
That's what I'm thinking. Which I think would probably... The problem is George is so close to both of them that, like, because in my mind I was going to be like, oh, take out Emily and, like, become Emily. But it's like, George already has so many people that, like, becoming Emily isn't that great of a thing.
No, and it's kind of difficult if you sort of break that trust with George.
Yeah.
And either way, you're breaking trust with George.
Either way, you're fucking George because you've just voted out.
You're doing what?
You're... we don't need to talk about that. Anyways.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we got more.
Like, the one thing about, we did get some Jack content where he was like, maybe I shouldn't be voting for T-Rex because Emily is so close to George. And like, that scares me a little bit. And T-Rex is going to be a loyal person. That kind of seems to be what this vote comes down to, is like, yeah, T-Rex is going to be loyal, but like, he is also like a wild card. People see Emily as a wild card, but George and Jack know that's not really true. That like, they know that Emily's going to stick with them just the same way T-Rex would.
Yeah.
I will say, props to Emily for just like, being in this position. I think they got a sucky tribe swap and were able to get them to turn on their own number. Like, I think that's impressive no matter who's on your tribe, but especially just given the way Emily started and the way Emily has ended up, I think, like, props to Emily.
Snaps and claps for Emily. Part of me, like, kind of hopes that Emily and Ellie form this, like, bond during the merge.
I think they could be a powerful duo.
Yeah, and, like, a very much under-the-radar powerful duo.
Right.
Will it happen? I don't know. But I have my hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know how much else I have to say about this episode.
Honestly, yeah. Like, did you watch the... I can't remember if this was from episode 7 or episode 8. But did you watch the bonus scenes at the end?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there were some good ones. And I should be able to look at my notes now. I wrote some funny things.
I saw the one about Ellie's plant. But then yes. I texted you and I was like, I'm ready to film.
Let's see. Where are they? Okay. I didn't write that much. I wrote bonus scenes. Ellie, Keurig, Carl, plants, Leo. And I thought that was really funny. Noah had a little segment with all of his nicknames for everyone in his contact, so people can't tell like that he's texting someone for Survivor. Let's see. I wrote three of them. Grace's nickname was Last Century because he'll be with her till the end, which I thought was really adorable.
That's cute.
I was like, that's really cute. Someone is top shelf. I don't remember who that was. Maybe someone tall.
Like,
I don't remember. And then Lindsay A was Baby Yoda because
I love that. And wait, Noah, oh my god, was the Mandalorian out? Oh my god,
I know, because when he said that, I was like, really? But I guess it was 2020, so like, it definitely was out.
The Mandalorian's been out that long.
I know, it's just like the Baby Yoda. He was like, I don't know if this will age well, but, and like, I guess it did, but just in a weird way, because I was like, no one knows what Baby Yoda is at this time. Oh.
I gotta show you, I need to show you and the viewers the Grogu Mandalorian lounge fly that I'm about to buy.
Ooh. There was also a really funny segment of Tejas just like absolutely downing an ice cream machine.
What?
What? I believe it was titled Tejas is Hungry. It was, I will say the bonus scenes were amazing. Please keep
I will watch George. Them.
Like,
for all of you wondering, this is what I'll be buying soon.
Ooh, nice.
It's so cute. For all my Disney Star Wars fans, they have some really good Star Wars merch out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm at Disney, I just make purchases now. Like this pillow. It's a balloon.
Ooh, nice.
Lovely. Okay, well, before we end the episode, my question of the day is, my question of the day is, this is just a personal question. What's your favorite ride at the Magic Kingdom?
If you've ever been... not everyone has been to the Magic Kingdom. That feels a little bit classist, Sophia. Just kidding.
Well, all I think about is Disney World right now because I do, in fact, live here and work here.
Yeah, so fair.
So, like, I had this – someone asked me yesterday – well, my coworker asked me at the end of the night, was like, oh, what's your favorite ride in every park? And every park except the Magic Kingdom, I had a very clear answer. So, what's your favorite ride at the Magic Kingdom?
Mm-hmm. My question of the day is, what would your nickname be in Noah's contact?
Ooh. I think mine would be what would it be? I don't know. I think it would be, well, the first thing that popped into my head was child. Just
because. Child? I feel like that would be problematic if Noah was texting someone just named Child.
That's why I was like, should I say this? Because it probably would be, but that's the only thing I could think of.
That's valid, I guess. So yesterday I watched How to Train Your Dragon. I didn't finish it, unfortunately, but I watched like the first half. It's so good. And I think I would be Toothless. I feel like I give Toothless vibes.
You give Toothless or I give Toothless?
No, I give Toothless.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, if you watch the trailer for Gen 2, you might see moi And, you know, it might be a slight reference to that too, but.
Oh my God.
Maybe. Okay, that's but anyways, that's all we have. Hopefully we can get episode 8 eventually. We're making our way. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But in the meanwhile, keep your torch lit.
Lit. Yeah. Bye, everyone.